Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 261 of Nerd Pride Radio. 261 is actually the name of a railroad engine. It is the Michigan Road 261, which, okay, was not terribly fascinating until I found the website 261.com. And this is the first time I have ever seen this, is that 261.com on Google says there is no description available for this website. And look up why that would be, and it turns out that the website has just blocked Google from providing a description. I mean, the website's there. They can show you that it's there, and they'll link to it, which, you know, I went to it. But they didn't allow Google to describe them. And I thought, oh my God, what kind of secretive place is this? And it turns out it's the Friends of the 261. It's just a website for people who really like that train. I don't get it. Why the secrecy? Anyway, it was just interesting because I learned some. So, ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
Thank you, Lisa. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in, oh, I left it blank. Wow, apparently Limbo. Nerd Pride Studios in Limbo. So anyway, before we get into the meat of the podcast, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! I said last week that I had a rage about taxes and about how it was absolutely silly that the federal government requires us to fill out our own taxes. And that, I mean, they already have all of the information, and if you do it wrong, they then send you a note that says, hey, you did it wrong, and then they correct you, because they have all the numbers already, all right, and I went on and on. And then, of course, my good friend Dave pointed out to me that, yeah, unless you're self-employed, you know, like a cellist or something, and you have all sorts of independent gigs and self-initiated projects and et cetera, in which case, yeah, he really does need to pay his accountant, and a good bit more than I paid my accountant, apparently. I'm like, oh, yeah, I suppose so. But that doesn't change the point that for the rest of the nation, it's still a whole bunch of wasted work, and I can't believe they put us through it. But he's absolutely right, so I apologize for forgetting about the self-employed. And then also, as I was listening back to the last episode, I had talked about the Netflix series Russian Doll and commented that I don't really like Natasha Lyonne that much. And I need to correct that statement, because as I listened to it, I'm like, well, but that's not right. I like her. I just don't like the character she plays. I find she has a very singular type of character that she plays. They're usually cynical, disaffected, usually drug users, usually very libertarian as far as sexual matters go, this sort of thing. And so... and they're very abrasive characters. Like, you know, it's not that I disagree with the attitudes or the politics or any of that. It's just, God, she just plays abrasive people. So, I should amend my previous statement to say, nah, it's not that I don't like Natasha Lyonne. I just don't like the characters she plays. I mean, I enjoy them in the setting, but they're just, I don't know, something off-putting about all of her characters, which I think is what she's going for. And so to be more accurate, you know, I like everything she's in. I love her choices. I love what she's done with her career. I just don't. Anyway, it was a very poorly worded statement. So I'm correcting that. And then the last thing in Mike was wrong. Mike was wrong. I can't believe I forgot so much of him this week. But I just found out this week that Hellboy is not in any way connected to Marvel. What? I would have swore. In fact, not only would I have swore that Hellboy was part of Marvel, but I've said that on this podcast at least two or three times in the past, where I've commented on the various Marvel series and the Netflix Marvel TV shows, and I've lumped Hellboy in with things like Ghost Rider and Punisher and other darker Marvel properties, and apparently I'm just completely wrong because did not connect at all. It's a Dark Horse comic, which once I heard it, I'm like, oh yeah, I actually think I knew that. And so for years now on this podcast, I've been thinking and saying that Hellboy is part of Marvel, and none of you corrected me. I mean, I appreciate that you guys are concerned for my feelings and that, you know, you let me slide with really stupid statements like that. But man, now I feel dumb. So I just caught that this week, you know, with the new Hellboy movie coming out and all, and I was looking things up. But anyway, I found that interesting. So that is it for the whole Mike was wrong instead. Let's get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever, when I talk about all of the interesting things I've stumbled across in the last week. Something strikes my nerd fancy during the course of my busy week. I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dog. So, straight into it. First up, it's my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. All right, first up on my gaming table. Sorry, I can't talk today. For my birthday, which was last week, thank you. For my birthday, I got a game called Hive, an award-winning game called Hive, which is just incredible. Absolutely love this thing. Hive is a two-player game, and it is each player has a set of 11 tiles. Each tile, all the tiles are little hexagons, and each one has a bug on it. And each bug has a different function in the game. And so, for example, when you play your queen, you only have one queen. And when you play your queen, like a king in chess, can only move one space at a time. When you play the spider can move three around the edge of the hive. And there's no board. You literally, since they're hex tiles, you just lay them down, and then new tiles get played down. And join together to form a hive, and everything always has to stay together. So you have this huge hive where bugs are jockeying for position around the edges and over the top and whatever. And so spiders can move three spaces around the edge of the hive. Soldier ants can move as far as they want. Beetles can crawl over the top. Grasshoppers can jump. There's all sorts of special stuff that goes with it. And again, you have just the 11 tiles on each side. You got to keep things together. And the object is to just make sure the opponent's queen gets surrounded. If the opponent's queen is surrounded by, and it can be pieces of either color, but if the opponent's queen is surrounded, then they lose. And it's it. It's really simple. You can teach somebody to play this game in less than 5 minutes, and then you're up and running. And then once you're playing it, it feels a lot like a game of chess. It feels like, because it's very strategic and it's very, it's kind of chess-like, it's kind of Go-like, it's kind of that sort of feel to it. And it's great. I love it. It's this big puzzle on the board as you're kind of working out all the possibilities. And I played several games that I won all in a row. And then I played Noah, and Noah kicked his butt the first game because, you know, he hasn't played before. He was just learning the rules. And then the second game, we actually wound up having this really serious run where, he finally figured out what all the strategies were. And he figured out a lot of stuff that I hadn't seen yet. And so He was playing a really strong game. And I mean, we must have ran around for like 20 minutes on this. Usually, typical games like 5, 10 minutes. We went a long time, and I thought I was cooked for a little bit there. And then, at the last second, he miscalculated, and I pulled it out. But he's really good at it. So so I just really enjoy Hive, and I look forward to playing more of it. And then to go along with Hive, I don't know how much the base set costs, because it was a gift. But I know that there are a whole bunch of expansions out there. So, you know, whereas this one comes with, you've got your queen, a couple of beetles, like three grasshoppers and three ants, whatever it is. You also then have the possibility of expansions. And each expansion set is just two tiles, one black tile and one white tile, and it gives you a new kind of bug. So you can get the assassin bug, or you can get the pill bug, or the ladybug, or there's all sorts of them that you can get. They've got like 20 expansions. And it's like $6, $7 for each expansion. So, like, ultimately, when you're all done, you can have like a $170 game here. I wouldn't go that far. My plan is once we start getting to where we feel comfortable with Hive, and we've kind of we feel like we've explored a lot of it, then I'm going to go online, read some reviews, and figure out which of the expansion bugs people really recommend to work into your game. What really adds to it. It's kind of like playing Carcassonne. When we first had Carcassonne, we loved it, and then got to the point where we realized, oh, there's all these expansions for it. And so we did some reading, and people were recommended, here's the couple of expansions you really need. All the rest of them are kind of, it'd be kind of nice, but it doesn't add a whole lot, and this kind of thing. So I think Hive is going to be the same way. We'll find like the two or three bugs that we really need to add in. It was a ton of fun. I highly, highly recommend Hive. It is a great game. I assume, you know what? I suppose I could look up, but no, I won't. It's too much time. I assume it's relatively inexpensive, and it is award-winning, and for good reasons, because it's an awful lot of fun. So we had a great time. The other new game that I am playing is Symantris. Now, this is part of... my wife just went to a technology conference for education, and one of the seminars she sat in talked about hipster Google. It is all these really cool, innovative things that you can do with and around Google that are built off of Google's functions and that a lot of people don't know about, but super cool stuff. And just, for example, Ingrams. I didn't know I could just go to this on Google. There's a Google page for Ingrams where you can plug in any word or phrase that you want. And then it will give you a little chart of the usage of that word or phrase over the last 500 years through the, you know, every book that's ever been scanned into Google Books. And it will thus give you the, you know, where that word or phrase first came into usage in English. And then, you know, where was it most common and how did it, yeah, all sorts of information just on the development and evolution of words. Oh, my God, I'm in love. I got lost in there for a little bit, so... that was super cool. There's Google Trends, which I've seen people do stuff with before, where you can talk about a word or a phrase, and they will give you the search history of that search item. You know, how often people are looking for it, where searches for that are most common, etc., etc. Google Scholar, which I didn't even know was a thing. If you're looking for only peer-reviewed scholarly articles for research, like if my kids are doing research papers for high school, oh my God, this is so handy. It's only giving you, legitimate peer-reviewed research that you can then use in research papers for high school or college. And, you know, very conveniently gives you the citation button at the bottom, so it'll just give you the bibliography entry in whatever format you need it in. You don't have to work all that stuff out for yourself anymore. Oh, so cool. God, there was one other that I don't have written down, but I can't remember what it is. I can't even remember the name of it. Can't remember the name. Oh, it's a Google Maps function where, yes? Oh, that's true. That's true. My wife has a link to all of it, which I know she sent me somewhere, but you guys know how good I am at that stuff. So, there's this one where they've got the satellite imagery of the entire Earth. So they've pieced together maps that you can zoom in on as close as close as you want for the entire Earth, and they have a full cloud-free map of the entire planet for the last 35 years, going back to like 1984. And so you go in there and you just pick any location on Earth, zoom in as close as you would like, and then hit play, and it will just give you a time lapse of that location over the last 35 years to show you the one shot each year. So you can see cities build up, glaciers disappear, coastlines moving back and forth. It was fascinating. Fascinating. Boy, that's one that I really should look up the name of. So I think I will do that. But, okay, anyway, the reason I bring all of this up on the gaming table, though, is one of the items is Semantris, and it is spelled S-E-M-A-N-T-R-I-S, Semantris, and it is a game. And if you just do a search for Semantris on Google, it'll take you right to it. It's like research.google.com/Semantris, I think, is the URL. But you can go right to it. And Semantris is just a word game where there's two versions of it. But both of them involve you have a bunch of words on the screen in front of you, and you have a word that you want to target. So you try and come up with a word or phrase that will be closest to that according to Google. So according to everything Google knows about how people use language and how people search for things and how words and phrases are tied together, you see something on the screen, so you have to type in whatever word you think is going to be closest to that in a search. And it's just the version I play is blocks. There's an arcade version, which is just, it's kind of like a lightning round of stuff that you got to move quick, because if you hesitate, it keeps stacking up more and more and more words on top of this pile. And it's too much for my nerves. I liked playing it, but it's nerve wracking. Blocks, on the other hand, is more, you have all these blocks stacked up, and if you can, you know, you pick which block you want to target, and you can pull that block out of the stack and everything will fall. You've seen block stacking games before. But in order to target it, each block has a word on it, and so you have to figure out which word that is. And so, for example, you know, police is on there. And so, like, okay, what word do I come up with for police? What I didn't see is that over in the bottom left corner, there's also cop. Ah, crap. So the word that I picked for police, nope, it took out cop instead. And so that part of the tower drops, but the part I was concerned about is still standing there. And it's just, it's really addictive. Really addictive, Semantris. And there are times when it is just inscrutable. Totally baffling. I went in and I saw the word truth. And so I thought, my first thing when I think of truth is I think truth, justice, and the American way. So I went in and I put in justice was my word. And unbeknownst to me, I hadn't seen that Batman was in there too. So naturally, it's going to take out Batman. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a fair cop. I get that one. Great. But now truth is still sitting there, and I'm like, all right, fine, let's try it again. Justice. And this time it took forever, and instead of truth, it settled on milk. Yeah, no, don't laugh. That's not funny. I don't know. I have no idea why. But most of the time, they make a lot of sense, and most of the time, when you miss the word that you want, you may disagree, but you can see how it got there. Justice to milk, I don't connect, but that's okay. Most of the time, you can see where it's going. And anyway, it's really addictive. And so, you know, new blocks will drop down. But this one, there's no time crunch. You have time to look at all the stuff, analyze the position, think about what word or phrase you want to choose. And it's just a lot of fun. So I highly recommend. And then that's it from a gaming table. Now, next up.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right. Fingertips. These are all the things that I am too lazy to develop into full segments, so I'll just throw them in here. And since Aiden is not here, you don't have to listen to him do the annoying version of the fingertips song. So let's start out. So the first one that I have is... Hold on. All right. Here's the problem with my list. Is that every time I add new stuff to my list, is I always wind up putting it at the top of the list, because that's just, you know, whenever I go into my master list, the cursor is just always at the top, and so I just add stuff there. That means that when I put them over here, they're always in reverse order, so I'm always talking about the newest stuff first. You guys don't need to know all that. That's a little behind-the-scenes, open-the-kimono kind of stuff that You guys don't really know about that or care, and yet, oh, it drives me crazy every time I do fingertips, and I'm just too lazy to reverse them. So let's try and go from the bottom up this time. Let's see if I can manage it. It's going to be tough, but I'll try. All right. Let's see. Renewable energy, solar windows, fence posts, windmills. Okay. Wow. See, this one's been on fingertips for so long. It's been sitting here on my master list for so long that I barely remember why I was so excited about these things. But it was the idea that when we're looking at renewable energy, we've got there's new technology for solar windows that can go into buildings. And you can use them as regular windows, and they work just fine. Because here's the thing. All buildings got to have windows, right? I mean, skyscrapers are just plated with windows. And so, therefore, if you've got windows that can take in sunlight and generate energy while still allowing in light and serving the function of a window, essentially you've just created energy generation for, you know, in a free space where you're not in anybody's way. You're not, you know, it's not taking up space that was otherwise going to be used for something else. It's like, just put it into the window that's already being used as a window. And therefore, you still get the same functionality and yet energy generation. Super cool. And they're, you know, not nearly as efficient as regular solar panels because, well, A, they're newer, and B, you know, they still got to let light through and they still have to be functional. But they're getting better. And it's just a super cool idea that you could have a whole skyscraper built with these on the right faces of the building for collecting sunlight, and you know, you could be meeting the power needs or some of the power needs of that building just with that set. Super cool. To go along with it, then, there are windmills, electricity generating windmills that are literally just posts. Like, they're only these tall cylinders that, you know, maybe, you know, make them like 12 feet tall, 15 feet tall. I can't remember how tall they were. And they're only about 8 inches across. So it's just a cylinder that goes straight up. And Yancey and I were looking at these online, and it was just fascinating to see these and that they generate electricity. And obviously not as much as these, you know, gigantic windmills. But here's the thing about the fence post windmills, as we call them, is that you could just put them on your fence posts. You already have the fence line going around your farm. And so if you just put up this extra tall post, you know, every third or fourth fence post, you have these suckers up, and they're collecting wind and turning it into electricity for you, and you're not using up any portion of your property. You're not taking up any extra land. There's no footprint to it that you weren't already using for your fence, and yet you're generating energy out of it. And without, you know, I know there's also people who talk about the hazard to birds and all of this, and so you've removed you've removed that hazard. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me. So I guess I do see why I was so excited about it. So had I talked about this 3 months ago when I first saw it, why I would be a lot more excited because I'd have more details for it. But yeah, that's what it was about. So now I put it in fingertips. There we go. Next up in fingertips is a painting called Young Farmers by August Sander. And it was Young Farmers in 1914 is when he painted this thing. And if you look it up, it usually goes by the name of Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance. And there's also a book by the same name. But Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance. And it's just three young German men, ostensibly farmers for purposes of the painting, although they weren't actually farmers. Someone looked them up. These three guys were Otto Krieger, August Klein, and then August's brother, Edvald Klein. And I saw them on, it was the Vlogbrothers YouTube channel. So John Green was talking about this painting, and he did a whole long thing on it. So I would recommend going to the Vlogbrothers channel and watching the episode on Three Farmers on Their Way to a Dance. Or just go look up the painting and just see it, because it's just a fascinating slice of life. And this is why it's still a known thing, is because it is just a really interesting slice of life. These guys who are, you know, 20 years old, and they are dressed up in their slickest duds, with their hats askew, cigarette on in their mouth, And they are on their way to the dance, and they just look like any 20-year-old kids on their way to a social function. Just too cool for anything going on around them. And yet, here they are, all fancy and dressed up and going to the dance, but they're walking down a dirt road with a pasture behind them, and, you know, there's mud around them and animals. And it's just, it's the juxtaposition of, you know, this is the post-industrial revolution world where it's the juxtaposition of the old farming lifestyle and the rural agricultural setting, and yet here these are people transforming into, you know, city folk right before our eyes. And it's an interesting painting. I highly recommend it. And if you watch that video from Vlogbrothers on it, it actually goes into who these people were, because someone has actually done all the research and found out who these three guys really were. And it wasn't just three farmers on their way to a dance. They had other lives, and then there's pictures of these same guys joining the army and going to war in World War I, and talks about their lives afterwards. And one of them, I believe, died in the war. And anyway, it was all really, really interesting stuff. And so it was a little slice of life, and it was kind of moving, and so here it is on my list. So, all right, my next item, and I talked about this a little bit when I talked about the flood, is that for one of my sons and for some of his friends and other kids that I am familiar with, when the flood happened, one of the first things they talked about and one of the first things they worried about was, oh my God, are my video games okay? And a lot of people make fun of them for that. And like, look, there's, you know, these huge floods coming, you know, there's people in danger, people are losing their houses, and you're worried about your video game? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't know. To me, pain is relative. I mean, to them, at, you know, if you're 13, 14, 17 years old, you know, this is a big thing in your life. It's a thing that you spend a lot of time on. And for a lot of them, this is their first big purchase that they've made on their own. This was something that they worked for, something they earned, at least, you know, in his case it is. It's something that they earned and purchased with their own money. And to them, it's a big, I mean, it was a monumental accomplishment to get that far with it. And it's very important to them. And so therefore, the idea that, oh God, something might happen to it, I get it. That's why it's a concern. And yes, look, there's larger things out there. But, you know, when we were packing up and leaving our house, and again, we weren't in any serious danger and nothing happened to our property. We didn't lose anything. But, you know, there was always a chance. And so as I was packing up my stuff and I grabbed my bag, because the bag happens to have my computer and my medications in it, and so that was just the bag I grabbed with me on the way out. We grabbed a few other things. But, you know, part of me was like, oh yeah, hey, look, and I have a copy of Godball in the bag. Oh, thank God, I've got Godball with me. I mean, because Godball's something I've put a lot of effort into, and, you know, I put a lot of work into creating this prototype, and you know, and look, if it had not already been in the bag, I probably would not have gone to find it. I'm not going to hunt through the basement or go figure out where I left it and make a special trip to go get it, but, you know, it was there, so I was glad it was there. And so this was, wound up putting this on the list, this whole idea of, you know, pain is relative. It's the same kind of thing that that you see with high school drama, that, you know, I've known lots of high school kids, and when you talk to them, sometimes it is easy to dismiss them because, God, you listen to high school kids talk about relationships and friendships and who's mad at who and what's going on, and it seems so, I don't know. Their sense of importance of this stuff seems really out of proportion with, you know, to someone who is, you know, worried about their finances and worried about their kids and worried about all sorts of other things going on in their lives. And so the concerns of a 16-year-old just seem really minor. It's like, oh, yeah, you don't even know. You don't have any clue what's coming for you, kid. But you know what? To them, it is the biggest thing in the world. And this is... And if they didn't go through this, where this becomes their life, they're all consuming worries and passions and all that. If they didn't have that, then they wouldn't learn how to be an adult. This is all a really necessary part of growing up. And so therefore, I have done that in times of irritability or frustration. I have I know there's been times that I've dismissed my kids' concerns with, oh, well, you think that's rough. Wait till you get... And I feel bad about that because... and I've apologized to them for that because you know what? To them, this is huge and it does mean a lot. And so therefore, you know, you gotta be a little more on it. Like, what was the one Jacob just came to me with about this week? Oh yeah, he was talking about, I don't know, it was something about, just mentioned to one of his coworkers that, something about not having enough time for something. And he's telling this to a coworker who is, you know, 15, 20 years older and has kids and has all this stuff. He's like, no time. You've got nothing but time. Good Lord. Will, you've got a family. Will, you've got a... It's like, yeah, dude, just because you have problems that you feel are huge doesn't mean other people's... Yeah. You know, what was the... My mom just today was saying something about how, yeah, well, look, but someone else has cancer, that doesn't mean that, you know, your pneumonia that's making it hard for you to breathe is somehow less important or not a serious concern for you. That was it. Yeah. Yeah. It was, and I'm not saying it nearly as well as she did, but it was the whole idea that yeah, okay, so the pneumonia, I'm going to get over this and I'm not going to die from this, more than likely, but that doesn't mean it's not serious and it doesn't mean it's not something that I should be, you know, seriously concerned about right now, because God, I can't breathe and I can't get my stuff done and I can't. And yes, again, it's not chemotherapy. It's not, you know, going to take my life in a year. There are other people who have worse and different problems, but that doesn't mean mine are inconsequential. And I feel like in this society, I think I've talked about this before, in this society, I feel like too many people dismiss their own problems sometimes because, oh, I really shouldn't complain though. There's people who have it worse than me. It's like, well, yeah, but just because someone else has it worse doesn't mean your problems aren't real. And it doesn't mean, I mean, if they're upsetting you and if you have anxiety over them and you're worrying about stuff, that doesn't mean you should belittle them just because someone else might have worse problems or problems you consider to be worse. There's always someone with worse problems. Well, except for one guy. There's one person out there who has the worst problems. But other than that one person, everyone else, there's someone with worse problems than them. You can't go dismissing your stuff because of that. Anyway, let's see. What's next? Ooh, Cooper Nickel. My son, Elijah, has to do a science project. He had to do a science project. He finished it a couple nights ago. A science project on an element. He had to create a brochure for some element off the periodic table. And the element he chose was nickel because he's allergic to nickel, and so therefore it's something he's always been very aware of. And so he did his whole brochure on nickel, and he had to do all sorts of research on it, and, you know, all the chemistry about it and the facts about it and history of it. And as it turns out, nickel is extremely common on Earth and in the Earth's crust, but most of it, like aluminum, most nickel is tied up in compounds. It's in minerals combined with other elements. And pure nickel is a rarity, or at least it was a rarity until 1751, when some Swedish chemist figured out how to extract it from whatever nickel-arsenic combination he found. And so now we've got a process for pulling nickel out of these different minerals that works really easily, and therefore nickel is fairly common. And so... The interesting part to me, the reason I wrote Cooper Nickel, is the original name for nickel came from Kupfernickel, a German word for the mineral that it came from. Nickelite, in fact, is the English term for the mineral. But in German, it was known as Kupfernickel, which Kupfernickel means the devil's copper. Apparently, it's like fool's gold, the devil's copper. It's like a fake copper that it will fool people. And I just thought that was a really good name. So I wrote down Cooper Nickel. Okay. Next up on my list, the item here says white guy, black guy, white girl. No, it's not a porn description. Jeez, get your mind out of the gutter. It is, I have been keeping my eyes open, and this is examples of what I call lazy diversity or lazy representation. Watch ads, especially ads for video games, where, you know, these are video games which have customizable characters. And in the ads, I'm amazed at how many video game box covers and posters feature, or whatever the game is doing, feature three characters on the cover. It's always a white guy, a black guy, and a white girl. So, and usually with the white guy front and center. He's like the main hero out in the front, and then his wingmen, as it were, or wing people. I don't know if there's a gender-neutral term for it. His wing people are a black guy on one side and a white girl on the other side. To show that, oh yeah, yeah, you can also be black or female, but you know, hey, here's your hero. And it just feels like it's just kind of a, again, it's kind of a lazy way of showing representation that you know, and I understand when they come up with it, their marketing guys, white male is the default, and so therefore that's the first thing people think of when they're creating a main character, but also their marketing people are like, yeah, you know, 65% of our audience is white males, so shouldn't we target them first? I don't know. I don't think so. But again, it's just this, I don't know, it just seems so common. And there's a story that, it was from, what was her name? A story from Stephanie Beatrice, who is the actress who plays Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And she talked about auditioning for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And if you guys have not watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, excellent comedy, and I've raved about the show before. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Super funny. Me and the kids watch it together. Anyway, when she auditioned for it, Stephanie Beatrice, she was auditioning for the role of Amy, who is a Hispanic female, as is Stephanie Beatrice. And when she got there, she knew she was auditioning against Melissa Fumero. And you know, who was a friend of hers, and she was, you know, it's not like there was any real competition there or anything. They were just both trying out for the same role. And while she was there, the whoever was casting said, hey, you did really well at that, but could you also read for this other part we have? And the part was Megan. Megan was this, the part that would eventually become Rosa on the show. And Megan was originally written as a white woman who was kind of this mysterious, badass, biker type chick. Anyway, and so they had her read for that. And, you know, she thought she hadn't prepared anything, but okay, great, she'll read for it. She thought she did really well at that one, too. And so she was really excited at her chances of getting on this show because the whole thing seemed really good. She liked the people involved and all this. And so later she saw an announcement that Melissa Fumero had gotten the role of Amy Santiago. And when she saw that Melissa had gotten the role, Stephanie said she just started bawling. She just started crying. Not that, you know, again, you know, she was happy for her friend. You know, it wasn't jealousy or anything. It's just that, oh, well, great. They've cast the Latina. So now, you know, you're only going to have one Hispanic woman on the show. So therefore, she's out. And she just knew it because that's just the way Hollywood works. They already have their representation, so they're done. And so then when they called her back and said, hey, you know what, we're casting you as Megan, except we're going to change up the role now, she was just shocked and amazed and thrilled. And as it turns out, yeah, it's a brilliant show. It comes together really well. But the idea is, to me, there was something really cool about that in that it wasn't about, you know, we're just looking for some diversity. We're looking for some representation. We just want to make sure that we've, you know, signaled to everybody that, you know that we're, anyway, I lost my words. You guys know where I was going with that. And so therefore, they wound up with two Hispanic women on the same sitcom, which is, you know, unless that's the focus of the show, that's an unusual thing. It shouldn't be, but it is. Because, you know, otherwise, look, it's a default white cast, and then we fill in these certain slots. And so, again, Brooklyn Nine-Nine also has two black males as leads on the show. And, it's an ensemble. Can't really call them leads. But, yeah, they're two of the main characters are black men. And they have two queer characters on the show. They have, it's just...
Queer?
Yes. Because one is... the police chief, or not chief, their captain, Holt, is gay, and Rosa's character is bi. So therefore, wouldn't have been correct to say that they're both gay, because they're not, so I just used queer. So they're, anyway, So it just, I don't know. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine for so many reasons, mostly because it's just super funny. But then I find out stuff like that behind the scenes, and it just makes me like them more. So I find that really, really cool. And then, okay, I suppose, as long as I'm on the topic of lazy representation, it's also got J.K. Rowling listed here. And let me just... plenty of people have talked about J.K. Rowling and her occasional new announcements about the world of Harry Potter. But I'll pile on. The idea that after everything is all said and done, look, I know I didn't put anything in the book that would indicate that this is true, but oh, by the way, Dumbledore's been gay the whole time. Which, okay, that's fine. I was okay with that. I thought that was kind of cool. But now we've got Fantastic Beasts, and we've got a whole new movie trilogy in which Dumbledore is a main character. He's going to be, in fact, yeah, I know technically he's not the main character, but a lot of this is going to be Dumbledore's behind. And here these two characters have had a relationship, according to J.K. Rowling. They have had a very intense, personal, romantic, sexual relationship with one another. And what the first two movies and the producers and writers have all indicated is, oh yeah, well no, we're not going to show any of that on the screen. Look, everyone knows that as background, so that history between them, it's not really relevant on screen, and so therefore it's never going to be mentioned ever. Like, oh, that's just, no. That's just lazy. That's just, that, it's pandering. It's just sad that if they want to market this movie, they feel like they have to hide that. I mean, like, if she just hadn't brought it up in the first place, nobody would care. But she did, and she made a huge deal about it. And made a huge deal about how, because she wants to be woke, she wants to be enlightened, and she wants to show that, you know, she understands. And so that's great. But if you're going to make a huge deal about it, but then not do anything about that when you feel like money's on the line, because, you know, I thought J.K. Rowling ruled this franchise with an iron fist. I thought she was the ultimate arbiter of everything that does or doesn't go into it. And so this is a choice that she has made, so that she's gone along with. I feel that's kind of cheap. So, similarly, I thought this was an interesting take because I didn't see this at all. I didn't even think this. I just saw someone said, well, you know what? Nah, that'd be too many spoilers. Way too many spoilers. Never mind. I was going to talk about Captain Marvel, but maybe I'll just do this somewhere else. So, I'm sorry. It's just a tease. All right. You know what? We're going to skip that one. let's see. What? Oh. No. God, no. No, Snape doesn't die, does he? I never really finished the books. I don't... Wow. All right. My wife just dropped a bombshell. Stop, no more. Let's see. Okay, the next one on my list is Hipster Google, which I already covered when I talked about Symmantra's before. My last thing. This is my last one. I went to a band concert the other night for the junior high and high school, because I have a kid in junior high and a kid, and they're both in band. So I'm at the concert. My wife, who doesn't love our children as much as I did, she didn't bother to show up, but I did. So, she was actually out of town for that technology conference I talked about. So anyway, I'm there and Noah is down there. He's got his instrument ready, got his music ready, and now we're just waiting for the concert to start. And we've got like 5 minutes left. And so I'm up in the bleachers, and Noah looks at me, and he starts trying to tell me something. And I'm like, what? I have no clue. I'm trying to read his lips. And so he does it slower and more exaggerated so that I can read his lips better. I'm like, what? I have no idea. So I, like, and, you know, for a while I try to fake it and pretend that I know what he's talking about, and then I try and make a joke about it. But we're just doing all this through hand-waving and facial expression from across the auditorium. And finally, he gets really frustrated, and so he's trying to tell me again, and I'm like, I don't get it. What? And so he gets his hands up, and he starts, He doesn't know any sign language, because if it was Jacob, he just would have done the finger spelling, because we can at least do that much with sign language. But for Noah, he starts actually creating letters, the shapes of letters, with his hands until he can start spelling it all out for me. T-A-T-E... What? Wait. Tater tot? You're spelling tater tot? And finally, you can see that his face lights up and he starts nodding, and it's like, oh god, that is what he's been trying to tell me the entire time. Tater tot. So afterwards, I had to ask, what in the hell was that? It turns out, I did not realize this, but him and his brothers have been doing that for years. That whenever they're at an event like that, where one of them is out in the audience, and they've been doing that for years, where they try and communicate to each other, tater tot. What? Tater tot. What? They've been doing that forever with each other. I had no clue until just now when Noah does it back to me. So, Misa's really mad now. She didn't realize that's what they were doing. She's been baffled all this time, too. I am oblivious. I never noticed until just now. But apparently, and I think one of them said they started doing it because one of them, I don't remember, one of them said tater tot, and the other one thought it was I hate you. And so got upset, and so they would fight about it, and then it just became this really funny thing to say tater tot every time. So anyway, my kids are funny. There you go. And that's the end of Fingertips. Now it's time. Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Bride Radio Pod-O-Matic, and at the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdbrideradio.com/nerds. And I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And this first number is 77. Oh man, these are so much easier to read when I have this bright, bright fluorescent lighting above. This is great. I don't need Aiden's young eyes to translate for me anymore. All right. This is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, Craft Store Deathmatch. Hobby Lobby versus Michaels. Go! Oh. Well, I don't know. I have a Hobby Lobby here in town, but the nearest Michaels is like 75 miles away. So, yeah, and that particular Michaels was just not great. So sadly, as far as quality, I have been to one Hobby Lobby and one Michaels. And based on sheer quality, my Hobby Lobby wins. But Hobby Lobby also involves the whole religious and political angle and their lawsuits and the stuff that they stand for. And there's things that are maybe questionable, but leaving all of that aside, my problem with Hobby Lobby is you guys can't get a barcode scanner. You literally, everything that they plug in, they have to read the tag, plug in the number, pull up the department code. And I get that's the, I understand. Look, it's your choice. That's how you choose to run your stuff. But it kind of slows things down. At least they'll take my debit card. So, okay, I shouldn't complain too much. But come on. You could ring these things up so much faster if you would. And look, all that information that you're gathering that way, all of it, would be gathered by having a scanner. You could just beep, beep, beep. It's easy. Super easy. So, that's a barcode scanner. Beep, beep, beep. You haven't heard that before? That was clearly a barcode scanner. If I had just made that noise without any context whatsoever, everyone in the audience would have said, oh, there he goes with his barcode scanner again. Oh, every time. That is not my heart rate monitor. That was more of a beep, 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 beep. Totally different. Yeah, well, and then I flatline, and then we have the whole dramatic rescue scene. Anyway, look, Hobby Lobby versus Michaels, I'm sure this is not a fair match whatsoever. But again, I have a total sample size of one of each store, and Hobby Lobby has had the better variety and quality. So there you go. There it is, 60. Sorry, R2 was blocking my view. He actually stood up after that roll. So this one is also from Ronster. And Ronster says, do you think smoking will still be around in the numbers that we see today in about, say, 25 years? No, not with vaping being available. Will there still be as many nicotine users by percentages? No, that will slowly drop. Nicotine use has been on the decline in the long term. The averages have been slowly declining over decades now since we found out that, that tobacco kills you. And I think the ability to have, you know, unless they discover that vaping causes cancer in the same way. I mean, yes, I know some of the cheap flavoring additives that they put in vape juice can cause problems. But in general, we have not yet proven that vaping is necessarily dangerous. So, yeah. Oh, really? Vaping? Wow. My wife is telling me that in this school system, vaping is actually a real problem among middle schoolers. Wow. So yeah, you know, again, it is viewed as a safe drug by a lot of people. And so therefore, yeah, maybe we'll see more of that, but I doubt smoking is going to make a comeback. But yes, I don't think we will see cigarette smoking, especially now that there's an alternative that, you know, vaping can be for the impressionable youth who wants to try a legal drug and rebel. I just had this conversation with my kids in the car the other day. We were, since Lisa was out of town, I'm dropping them home from school, and someone said something about one of the kids. Oh, it was Eli said something about one of the kids in his class who vapes, and we were talking about it, and I'm like, God, I wish that wouldn't happen. And they're like, well, it's not dangerous, is it? And I'm like, no. But I said, that's not the point. The point isn't that it's dangerous. It could be. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We haven't, science is out on it yet. But yeah, but that was one of the flavorings that was at issue was what caused popcorn lung. Yeah, it was not the vape juice itself necessarily, but we don't know for sure. I said, no. Here's the real problem: is that nicotine is just not that great. Nicotine is really awesome for the first couple of weeks, and then now you're addicted to it, and for the rest of the time that you're on nicotine, you're not using it because it makes you feel good. You're using it because when you don't use it, you feel like shit. And that's it. And so now you're paying how many hundreds of dollars per month, per year, for something that just keeps you from feeling crappy, whereas if you had never started, then this is how you'd feel baseline without spending any money. So it's just, oh, man. I'm just sorry to see people getting into it. It's just not, oh, man, not worth it. I've been there. Been there, and it sucks. 27. 27 comes from, let's see. Oh, there it was. 27 is from Ronster. All right. I think this might be the last one I do, so it's an all Ronster episode. And Ron says, are you a sunrise watcher or a sunset watcher? And, whoa, why do you feel compelled to stare at the bright light? I don't watch either the sunrise or the sunset. That is just not normally my thing. I get it. It's cool. But, you know, in general, no, I don't do that because I'm a star watcher. I love looking at the constellations, and more than that, I love looking at planets. That's what I'm up to. And it's because planets are freaking cool. That's why. So, the only time I ever take note of the sun is when it's an odd color, when it's doing something weird, or when the sun dogs are out and you can see the rainbow ring that goes around the sun, or at the very least see the bright lights at the edges of it. That's super cool. But in general, the sun itself doesn't fascinate me all that much because it hurts my eyes. I mean, look, I stared directly into the sun as much as anybody when I was a kid because they told us not to. So I did it. And, you know, as far as I could tell, it didn't hurt my eyes. So adults are idiots. But, and yet I'm not president. I don't get it. So, anywho, Now, I'm not a sunrise or sunset watcher. Never have been. But do love the stars and the planets. So there you go. We'll do one more. 22. Hey, we're right there anyway. And 22 is from, well, let it be Ronster. Let it be Ronster. No, it's Daz. It is not an all Ronster episode. How about that? Oh, wait, nope. It is Ronster. Sorry. My numbers are off. So Ronster says, sorry, Daz, next week. Ronster says, you have won a custom Pimp My Ride treatment for your car. What will the Mike Jones pimped out ride look like? And then what will Aiden's ride look like? Aiden's ride will look stupid because he has poor taste. I don't know. He's not here. I'm just going to make fun of him. But the Mike Jones ride? I don't know. It's going to be... Well, I do know. I do know. It's going to... I don't need to pimp out anything. Look, put all the money into getting me a great computer system in it so that it just... When I get in, it recognizes my phone. It knows me. It adjusts all my seats and all my settings to my comfort level. It then also, you know, like I said, connects to my phone, voice control on everything, lets me get my music, my podcasts, make my phone calls, do all my stuff from my hands-free driving position. So that's the main thing. That's all the pimping out I really need is just Bluetooth my phone and I'm happy. That's all I want. See? Nice and easy. All right. You know what? You guys talked me into it. One more. There we go. 71. 71 is from Kyle. There we go. There's a non-Ronster guy. Kyle says, inside the NPR studio, question number 8. What profession other than yours would you like to attempt? A professional game designer. Oh, wouldn't that be cool? Man, I would love to be making so much money off of creating board games that I didn't have to work another job. Oh, that would be great. So either that or high-rise window cleaner. There you go. All right. I'm just kidding about that. I have a deathly fear of heights. That would be horrible. Just watching videos of people cleaning those windows makes me sick to my stomach. I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. So, all right. That is the end of it. So now we're going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Fingertips by They Might Be Giants and Weezer's In the Garage. That's what it was. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. And then write me a nice review or write me a crappy review as long as you give it 5 stars because that's what's making the difference. You want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. Just one friend this week, one friend next week. Just, you know, make it a habit. Every once in a while, tell somebody new about Nerd Pride Radio because you're enjoying it. So why would you not spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well? Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, Nerd Pride Radio, and The Bicoastal Disorder, which is awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal, and if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Look, Kyle has sent me nerd facts for like the last 5 or 6 or 7 episodes, and I got so used to just having them there that when I showed up this week and there wasn't one, it was trauma. It was terrible. I was like, oh God, I might as well just call off the podcast at this point. I have to go out and do research? Oh, but then I found something. So it all turned out okay. So we got there. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some social medias. To be completely honest, the best way to talk to me is to sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, we will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. I'm gonna go get some more. it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I send out to my Gallium members list, and I say, hey, guys, I am recording. Anything you want to add, I will read it off at the end of the podcast. And that's what I'm doing right now. First up, let's go check my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And I think I have only one response, and it is from Willie Gilligan. And my question had been, how's it going? Because I was lazy this week. And Willie said, pulling stumps sucks. I'll agree. Sucks horribly. But burgers and crab after it's done is awesome. All right. Well, good for you. I'm glad you got a good end to a rough day. So, all right. And then that's it for the forums. Go out to Facebook. And Facebook says, let's see. I believe there's one response here. Let's find out. Oh, man. My notifications aren't updating as quickly as I'd like, but I know there's at least one comment out here. So let's go find it quick. And it is from, here we go. I said, what do you want to share, basically? And my brother responded and said, I am back in the house. That is all. Yeah, I told you guys a while back, my brother's house got destroyed in a flood, and they've been rebuilding, and finally their house is complete. And they got to move in today. I saw the pictures, and it is cool. It is nice. I believe my mom just told me that they will have beds and clean sheets when they move in. The new furniture, a lot of donated furniture, isn't coming until tomorrow. But at least they have a place to sleep tonight. And it's their own house again, which is wonderful. So I'm very, very happy for them. Good job, Kyle. I am glad you are in your house. So let's see. My Gallium member list. And in the Gallium member list, I have, first response is from Jacob. And Jacob, I sent out to the Gallium Club members. I said, Gallium Club members, I'm recording. What's up? Because, again, lazy. And Jacob's response is, oh, I had no idea I was so special. What is up is I'm just playing some Nintendo Switch right now that I finally got a day off. All right, cool. What are you playing specifically? No? Nothing? All right. Probably Smash. And then he follows that up with, oh, here's a good one. I know that you've been listening to that Nintendo podcast. Yes, that Nintendo podcast is Switchheads with a Z. Switchheads by Nerd Pride Radio forum member and friend of the pod, Patrick Pedix, and friends of his. And it is an all Nintendo Switch podcast, and it's really, really cool. I've talked about it before, so go listen to Switchheads. And he says, all right, I know you've been listening to that Nintendo podcast, and I think you've mentioned it before, but I don't recall off the top of my head. Even though you don't play, is there anyone you personally would like to see in Smash Bros? Boy, that is tough, because most of the video game characters that were popular when I was really big into video games when I was a kid, most of them are there. I mean, it's, you know, the Mario and Donkey Kong and Link and this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, what's missing? Do we need Pac-Man and Qbert as Smash characters? As funny as Qbert would be, and he really would. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what games I was into after graphics became better and you could start actually having, you know, recognizable character-centric sort of storylines. Not Grand Theft Auto. Let's go with Half-Life and say Gordon Freeman. I would love to see Gordon Freeman in there. There's all sorts of things you can do with him. He had some of the really cool alien weapons by the end of the first game. And I think that would be nifty. So there, Gordon Freeman is my answer. All right. Next up on the Gallium list is, let's see. Oh, Sarah Beth. And my question again was, what's up? And Sarah Beth's answer is eating Thai food. Can't wait for Gen Con. Yeah, no kidding. Me and you both. I want to make some buttons or something for you to give to playtesters. Oh, that is great. Any requests? Well, the request is that it should say Godball with a logo, which we're actually looking at having a logo done for us. So hopefully we will have something, I don't know, relatively soon, a few weeks. If so, I'll let you know, because if you actually want to help me get buttons made, that is a really good idea. and we may have some artwork to go with that. So that would be super cool. As long as it's got Godball and it looks cool, and then, you know, some contact information so someone with a button knows to come to the website to find us or something, that would be awesome. So that sounds great. God. So anyway, and then that's it. That's everything we've got for this week. You guys have been awesome. I am so glad you came around to join me. And hopefully I have an episode next week. I believe Aiden's off work next weekend, so it'll probably be an Aiden episode, but we'll find out. Anyway, love you guys. You're the best. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you later. Bye.